Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
What we've been doing in the past year, offensively, the past year, and now this past week one, you try to, for yourself, try to find an identity of what you are. And I felt like last year, as we got going on towards the end of the season, in the middle of the season, we started feeling more comfortable certain plays. We're not going to just change our whole offense because we're playing Vic. And it's still hard. I mean, I can tell you just from last year playing at the Chiefs in the preseason, I know that offense inside out, and I couldn't tell you what plays they were running by formation.
Middays on the Score.
That's Matt Nagy, and there has been some concern about what pitches might have been tipped by his offense and what people are learning now that there's film on him. Everybody's learning with every game, and he, as introspective as he can be, admitted yesterday that he's learning. He's being very critical, but we'll handle that. We'll be critical of him. I think we can do plenty of that. Now joining us to talk Bears is somebody who covers them every single day, Kevin Fishbane, who is on Twitter at KFishbane, and he's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. Kevin, how are you?
I'm good, Dan. How are you guys?
I'm all right. I feel better after being so unimpressed by Vic Fangio's Denver Broncos last night. That was kind of meh.
Yeah, that was pretty ugly. Lewis Riddick had a line last night, and I think Lewis Riddick is fantastic in his analysis, that you know that Vic probably had most of the right play calls. He kept saying they just got blown off the ball every snap by the Raiders offensive line and by the Raiders offense. It was really something to behold. Like, you just don't expect to see that from Vic. I almost felt sad for him watching him at the end of that game. Just he looked pretty morose after his first experience as a head coach. But yeah, I would imagine that might make the Bears fans feel a little more comfortable about Sunday's game in Denver.
I know something you guys have kicked around is this idea that Vic Fangio will see what the Bears have to fix. Matt Nagy knows that he knows, and then Vic knows that Nagy knows that he knows that they know. They allowed 71% of third down conversions last night, the Broncos did. What do you expect needs to be the thing Nagy fixes up quickest against these Broncos?
You know, among the things that Nagy blamed himself for last week, it was he did not put his quarterback in comfortable situations. And I think it starts there. And that could be a multitude of things. It could be maybe giving your running backs more than five handoffs, including David Montgomery. It could be something I wrote about this week. Get Mitch moving a little bit. There was zero designed runs for him. There was only two times that he moved the pocket in a designed pass play. Maybe take advantage of those legs. Yeah, you'd love it if you could just sit in the pocket like Drew Brees and Tom Brady do and pick apart defenses, or even like Patrick Mahomes does, but that just wasn't him. He just gets skittish in there. So maybe make that easier for him. So whatever Matt Nagy can do to make things easier for his quarterback is going to be kind of first and foremost in trying to get this offense to where it needs to be.
Let me take a step back for a second, and let's assess some damage here. How devastating was not just the fact that they lost, but the way they lost to all that had been built up around this team, to the aura of this team, the feeling around this team internally and externally, but more internally about what they have been telling themselves. How much damage has been done to this team's self-esteem?
Well, the defense's self-esteem is great, Dan. So they feel fine. But I think it was pretty disastrous for the quarterback. I think you guys probably saw the way Mitch Trubisky was after the game, seeing him kind of, we were in the locker room yesterday. It wasn't his day to talk, but you know, people were in pretty decent spirits. They had the whole weekend to get through it. But I'm not sure if he's there, and I'm not sure he's going to get there until he, you know, gets back on track, or you know, looks competent at least. But you're right. I mean, the way they talked about this offense, the way they talked about Mitch Trubisky since the end of last year, and that was as disastrous of a night as you could have for the offense with everything that was built up into it. You know, the only thing that could have been worse for them is if the defense had regressed like everyone was saying they would with Chuck Pagano. And by everyone, I mean more so, you know, out of town was kind of assuming there was just going to be this drastic regression. And obviously, we didn't see that from the defense. But from an offensive perspective, it was as bad of a night as you can imagine. And guys, I remember when I first started covering the NFL, when I worked at the old Pro Football Weekly, the Jets were one of the first teams I kind of was in charge of monitoring. And I remember watching Rex Ryan press conferences, and then I'd watch the Jets. And I learned, I'm like, wow, Rex Ryan has a much higher opinion of every single player on his team than everybody else does. And he just believes that he is right about everything, and he's the smartest guy in the room. And it really was kind of, it was like my first introduction to kind of how NFL head coaches work. And I wonder if that was something that happened to Matt Nagy for this first game. That he has built this game plan for that first game around the fact that he believed that Mitch Trubisky was going to take this step, that Mitch would be able to sit in the pocket, diagnose Mike Pettine's defense, pick them apart with all these different personnel packages left and right, and that totally backfired. And the quarterback was not ready for what the Packers threw at him, and he could not adjust. And I'm very interested to see how much Matt Nagy dials back and realizes, well, wait a second, maybe my quarterback is not ready for what I would love for him to be able to do.
Kevin, speaking of having a handle on the offense, I know you keep a handle on snap counts for everybody. I had Anthony, I think 16 snaps for Anthony Miller in the offense in the first week against the Packers. He says he's healthy. Do we have an issue here?
You know, Connor, I actually wasn't too bothered by that because I kind of expected a bit of a slow, a bit of getting him gradually acclimated. I mean, he probably, I don't know the exact count of practices, but if you talk from May through the preseason, there is certainly no starter that practiced less than he did. Okay. He missed the entire spring. He missed most of the preseason after he hurt his ankle near the end of training camp. I was not shocked. What's interesting is Anthony Miller was still on the kickoff coverage team, so he's obviously healthy enough to do that. You would think maybe he can get 5 or 10 more snaps or at least get a target before the final drive of the fourth quarter. That was probably the most surprising thing. It's one thing if he's not going to get a ton of snaps. It's another if they're not going to target him in the passing game. But, you know, we get to talk to assistant coaches today, and wide receivers coach Mike Furry is generally very transparent with us, which is it's really refreshing hearing kind of his takes on his guys. And I imagine that's going to be a question that comes up. But that really did not stun me very much because everything we've heard about Anthony Miller is it's so important for him to make sure he knows where to be on every single play. They know all the physical gifts are there. So for him to kind of need a couple weeks to get into that group where they feel confident they could have him out there for 40, 50, 60 snaps, that's not totally startling to me, just the way, considering how much time he missed.
I just wonder what the headwind is there. You know, what's the limiting factor? It's one thing to miss time, but like if somebody's ready, they're ready. You know, they get out there and just go rather than ramping it up. I mean, they need all the hands they can get out there.
Yeah, they do, Dan. And that's why, you know, I wonder, you know, because the thing is, too, it goes both ways, because as much as we know that what limited Anthony Miller's last year was that he just was getting used to what an NFL offense was and that he can't just, like, at the snap, go run whatever route he wants and beat the guy across from him like he could do at Memphis. But everything the coaches have told us during the spring and summer is the number one example of his growth is how much more comfortable he is in knowing where to be and knowing what to do. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of a disconnect there because if, you know, but I do think that you still have to practice it. It's one thing for him to tell the coaches every day in the meeting room and answer the questions correctly and to say, I know where to be. I know what to do. I know this route. I know where this guy is supposed to be on this play. But maybe they just didn't want to get him in there a ton because they had not seen it in practice very much. It also could have been a personnel thing too, where they just really felt comfortable with those, you know, with using two backs. And one of the things I kind of expected in the offseason was that we were going to see a lot more Tariq Cohen lined up at wide receiver. I did not expect him to see lined up a wide receiver for almost every single one of his snaps. But, you know, that is going to be something to see how does Matt Nagy adjust, because you got to get Anthony Miller on the field. You know, so what do you do with Tariq Cohen? Does that mean they're both lined up a receiver? Can you get Cohen in the backfield a little more often? You know, that'll just be one of the many things we're trying to see. How do they adapt to what went wrong when they play Fangio on Sunday?
Games in Denver, that's at altitude, of course, and you would imagine that the field goal range for everybody when you get there is a lot longer than it is anywhere else. Do you think Matt Nagy is going to trust that? Will we have the same kind of communication issues between special teams and head coach? Or are they going to have? They won't give you a number before the game, but do you feel like we'll have a pretty decent number afterward?
I don't know, Connor. If they have a very salacious 4th and 10 that they just would love to go for, maybe they will eschew that field goal again.
I love 4th and 10s. I don't know about you, Kevin. I'm just a big fan.
I mean, when your offense has not scored a touchdown and has not even gotten in the red zone, when you get that 4th and 10, you just got to go for it. Mm. I mean, you really, you would hope so. Like, but I wonder too if it's going to be, you know, a game situation thing. Where maybe if it's the first quarter and it's a 55-yard field goal, that Matt Nagy would say, sure, he can do it. I know he can, that's, you know, his number's 57. Let's do it. Maybe if it's the fourth quarter and a situation similar to last week, that's the type of thing where then Matt Nagy gets a little nervous. I don't know. Now, that is yet another thing where what's the adjustment from game one? How does, you know, after seeing, for what, you know, Matt Nagy is very self-aware. And he, you know, I'm not sure how much he reads necessarily. I'm sure he listens to you guys all the time. Oh. But I'm not sure, like, what. But mm-hmm. He's very aware of the questions that he's going to get all the time. So he knows that there's been a ton of criticism about this situation, and maybe it's allowed him to self-reflect about it. And maybe that there's no question that he's going to be comfortable with Pinheiro, whatever that number is, especially with the help of the altitude. But the other thing, too, guys, is as bad as that offense was, you know, you need points when you can, and I think you got to take advantage of the fact that if this is your kicker, use him as a weapon to get 3 points on the board if you don't believe your offense can get 7.
Talking with Kevin Fishbane on the Bernstein and McKnight Show, Sports Radio 670, something that you mentioned early stuck in my head. And when you said Matt Nagy's going to do everything he can do to make his quarterback comfortable, make things easy for his quarterback. And I get that. But I'm still, part of me wonders, how fragile a guy are we talking about here? How much does he need to be pumped up? I mean, you get back to his post-game quotes, like, the ball felt good coming out of my hand. I thought I threw it well. We this, we that. Olin called him out on the after show saying some things wrong. He said, too much we, not enough I. How much does he have to be told good things and be positive and see him making throws and building his confidence? Because we're in year 3. And he's an NFL quarterback who is in the market for massive generational wealth if he can prove himself. Are we coddling him? Are the Bears coddling him?
There's probably a little coddling, yeah. I think that, and, you know, you would hope, there was certainly a lot of it his first year. I mean, they were protecting him from the dangerous media, too.
I get first-year stuff. Yeah. It's reasonable about a young rookie who didn't even play that much college ball to build a little bit of a shell.
Yeah, but you're right, though. By year 3, if he is, I mean, this was kind of the summer of Mitch, too. I mean, this was somebody who didn't really ever do any promotional things, never went out in public very much, and then he really bought in. I mean, he was everywhere this summer. He was doing Chicago magazine stories. He had his camps. He was, you know, just the face. He was becoming the face of the franchise. So if you are going to be that, you have to accept the blame, and you have to not really, you know, it's one thing that, you know, I don't want to say, like, not be fazed by it, because you should be rattled and upset by a performance like that, but you got to be able to understand how to fix things and be able to handle some of those post-game situations in a better fashion. The other thing with, you know, Mitch is a little bit robotic with us still. You know, sometimes he loosens up a little bit, but he is so careful with how he handles himself, and he, like his head coach, very aware of, like, the perception of him, that I wonder if that got too far with a performance that he was seriously disappointed in, and he should have been, almost stunned by how poorly he played in that game. But, I mean, it is something to continue to watch, Dan, because, no, you would think that at this point they don't need to, you know, there were questions asked to the head coach this week about how do you manage his confidence. I didn't ask that, but I just, you know, I don't think that should be high on his list. Like, the head coach shouldn't have to worry about that. He shouldn't have to worry about your third-year quarterback's confidence necessarily. You know, you should, aside from the very micro confidence of, well, let's get a few completions in to get his confidence up in a game. But from week to week, you should be comfortable that your quarterback's going to go do what he needs to do to get better from week to week.
Speaking of week to week, is there a drop dead on Trey Burton once you get to, I don't know, Friday or something? I mean, used to be, remember Lovie Smith saying, you know, if you couldn't do, you know, the last practice of the week, then you're just not playing no matter who you are, and that game time kind of thing just doesn't even work. Has that changed for Burton, or are we still too early on in this week's process to really make a determination on that?
Yeah, I think we're a little early. I think it was a good sign that he was out running around yesterday, and I thought it was a good sign that he was actually doing some work with the trainer last Thursday on the field. You know, if they knew all day that he was not going to play, I don't think he would have necessarily gone through that song and dance of running routes. So that was good sign number one. We'll find out what his participation level is Wednesday. You know, what makes this week a little trickier is the fact that you got a flight involved. So if there was any hesitation about, you know, inflammation or what have you, whatever's going on with his groin being impacted by, you know, flying to Denver, then they would keep him home. But if he practices tomorrow, even if he's limited tomorrow, I would think that's a pretty good sign that he's going to at least try to give it a go Sunday. So I don't know if there's going to be, you know, if he does not practice at all Wednesday, then I think you can kind of sound the alarm bells a little bit, because that's going to be too much, too hard for him to get up to speed, I would assume, when you're considering the fact that it's a road game.
And as frightened as Matt Nagy seemed to be of using his kicker, I wonder if anything around the league this weekend might sort of change his confidence level one way or the other. There's former Bear Cairo Santos banging it through. There's Kari Vedvik missing kicks. There's Adam Vinatieri at age 52 or whatever he is missing a bunch of kicks. Guys miss kicks, but you still, when presented with the numbers for what a 50-yarder is supposed to be, at some point he just got to say, screw it. Either I have a kicker or I don't.
Yeah, and you have this entire giant nationally publicized kicking competition, and this is the guy who won, so you'll take advantage of him and use him to kick. And as I said earlier, your offense is not doing a good job right now. And last year, the biggest problem with this team was they didn't score enough points. So you get in field goal range, go get your 3 points and trust your defense. You know, they have to, you know, you don't – Matt Nagy is not the type of coach that wants to play a ball control game, right? He doesn't want to be John Fox. He doesn't want to kind of, let's run it, let's get to the 35-30-yard line, let's relax, get our field goal, trust our defense. But when you look at Denver's offense, you look at the fact that they're on short rest, and you look at what happened to your quarterback last week, I mean, you got to consider that type of game plan. You know, just do what you got to do to get a win. And part of that is going to be take advantage of what's good for you, which is, you know, maybe some throws to Allen Robinson here or there, use David Montgomery, Tariq Cohen more out of the backfield, get in field goal range, use your kicker, take advantage of the altitude, trust your defense, and get out of there with a win.
Sounds like a plan.
And works for me.
Kevin Fishbane's the guy who has it, joins us every week at this on this day at this time. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.